You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast. It's Monday night and we are back with a phone in after a long, long layoff. Wives, girlfriends, partners will be thinking you've rekindled the affair as you sneak into the spare bedroom or the toilet making suspicious phone calls to 0141 628 7237. But only they knew you were talking to us four handsome chaps. Delighted to say I'm joined by Connor, Brian and Kerr. Connor, how are we doing?
Hi, not bad at all. Good to be back on this time. After I unfortunately missed the last pod, but we're back with a vengeance.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to chopping a bit to see what the punters bring tonight, Brian.
Absolutely, always is. Good, always usually good calls, so good win at the weekend, so looking forward to this one.
Kerr, you're there, heating's broke, but Tammy's on, you're ready to go.
Tammy's always on. Don't really like to take my hat off. Listen, I've just been out the back door fixing my bin because I'm flying about like paper, so I had to go and try and grab them. But I fly about like paper as well because I weigh 7 steam and I'm wet, so it's a hard life outside.
Listen, Storm Isha is in full flow. I'm sure it will get a mention at some point throughout proceedings tonight. As Brian touched on, listen, a good win at the weekend. If you want to talk about Dumbarton, feel free. We've got transfers in the offing. As the title says, Seema wants to stay, so I'm sure we'll mention that as well. And obviously, a midweek game, a chance to claw back the 8-point deficit and put some pressure on. So we'll get to that, I'm sure, as well. But more importantly, we want your calls, 0141 628 7237. Martin's waiting in the wings to take them, and he'll pop you through and you can have your say as well. Listen, only one place to start, I think, is the news that, you know, an arrival is imminent. We've been waiting, 22 days? Obviously, Silva came in nice and early, and then it's been 3 weeks or nothing. People have been panicking, thinking, are we going to get anybody in? But as we know, this window is usually very cautious and a lot of the business does get done late, Connor. Mohamed Diomande, a 22-year-old Ivorian midfielder coming in for the Dutch Super League, Nordsjælland. So, what are you thinking about that?
First of all, is Nordsjælland not the... Is that not
Danish?
Yes.
What did I say?
You said Dutch.
Oh, sorry, forgive me. There we go. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done the old phone, and there we go. First tailing off, I'll take that.
It'll be I've been interested in what you see. I mean, obviously, I don't know a lot about Nordsjælland or his performance here, other than, you know, a couple of videos I've seen and some stats and stuff. On paper, looks decent. I mean, he's another sort of midfielder, so we are quite packed in that area. So it'll be interesting to see, who'll be considered at the moment that their place could be in jeopardy. But no, it's needed. You know, we're always going to have to get players in Silva was nice and early, obviously, as you say. So bringing the lad Diamande in should be, hopefully.
Oh, listen, great point there, Connor. That gives me an ample chance to bring in the first caller. Christopher and Falkirk is in after the winter break, and he's got a point to make about out-of-contract players. Christopher, how are you doing tonight? All right? Christopher? Martin needs to shut that phone line out of there, though. Christopher, can you hear us? No, he can't hear us, I don't think so. Connor, we'll come back to you. Let you finish off as Martin tries to clear up that phone line and put Chris through if he can. You were just saying there about Diamande and the fact that the, you know, the midfield is a bit of a packed area at the moment.
It is. It's probably not necessarily the first area or the big area that you would have thought we'd be bringing players into, just because we do have quite a lot of cover there. I know we've had injury problems and stuff, but the interesting factor is we're getting those players back. We know that, you know, Tom Lawrence is back, obviously, in the fold. Raskin will be back. Matondo's come back in as well. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of competition for places there. And that should be a good thing for him to come in and show his worth, because it's obviously it's a step up coming for Denmark to Glasgow. So we'll see how he gets on, and let's hope he's a Diamande in the rough.
Oh, I like that. Christopher, I thought you're back. You're with us. How are we doing? After a fortnight layoff, we seem to be having some technical issues with the phone in tonight. Christopher, if you can hear us, put your hands in there so we can see you. We'll have to just carry on with the panel for now as we leave that with Martin. I can see him pulling his head out. He looks very, very frustrated. Brian, what do you know about the new boy? I know it's hard to sort of you know, pick through what you can see on YouTube, etc. But you know, I think the way that he looks very, very sharp in his play. Have you had the chance to run your eye over him?
I've done as much sort of Googling and looking at him as much as I can. He's obviously quite, I mean, when Graham from the pod gets excited about a lad that's coming in, then I kind of tend to get excited because he knows a lot of the youngsters that are playing across Europe. And I think Norgeland are quite well known for producing, you know, players and then moving them on for good money. So, yeah, it's an exciting one. I think what Connor's saying, you know, what you guys saying with the midfield packed, I think by summertime,
okay,
the midfield might not be packed. Oh, is he there?
Hello?
Christopher, you're here.
Hi there. Hiya. How is everybody?
Oh, well, listen, delighted you're through and you've got a point to make about out-of-contract players.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. This goes back to Mr. Wilson's reign of terror at the football club about Clement's statement about five players being out of contract. Now, if Lewis Wilson was running that operation sensibly, I remember what Dan McAnthony said on TalkSport about Peterborough. What they do is when a player gets to 18 months, if there's no indication they want to sign a new contract, they sell them. So why do we insist on letting contracts run down and leave so much money on the table in terms of transfer fees we could possibly get for these players?
Okay, I'll come to you on that, because obviously you've been part of the English game for a number of years. He's mentioned, you know, the Peterborough chairman's model there. If he's not going to sign on for 18 months, get rid.
Obviously, Peterborough get a different mindset for ourselves. I mean, Peterborough saying Peterborough are a smaller club. Disrespectful saying they're a smaller club, but they are. But I agree with in a way, whereas in, it should have been done better with Ross Wilson, whoever else is in charge of the contracts. Listen, we're getting to this stage, all these players that's out of contract, the five lads, whatever it is. Somebody might, by all accounts, Lundstrom's been offered a deal. He's been to the club, but he's probably not going to be anywhere near what he was offered when he came, because he is getting older and his market value is probably down. So will he sign it? We don't know. I mean, I heard Clement talking and he wasn't saying, but he wasn't saying he was signing. So I think that's why we're looking at players like this guy, Diamande. I think 22 he is, am I correct in saying that? And these, you can get him for a year, 2 years, and then sell him on. That's what clubs do. That's what they have to do with their business. They kind of keep bringing players in and keeping them and then letting their contracts run down and let them leave, because it doesn't make any business sense in the form. I know we're a football club, but we do it at the end of the day, need to make money to keep bringing other players in. So we need to bring in younger talent, develop it, sell it on for a profit and keep going that way. But also the guy that's out of contract, I personally don't see anything staying. I know everybody thinks maybe Lundstrom, but I think Lundstrom might want more than we're willing to give. And if that's the case, it wouldn't bother me if he goes. But I think I think it will be different under the manager and Klopp, and I think they'll do things differently because they're used to doing it different when they're working in Belgium and France. So if we have to do it, Robert, we have to start doing stuff different. This board's lost a lot of money in the last few seasons through different things, but especially doing contracts. We give people too much money for a kickoff, some players, and we don't give players contracts, even just to keep them for another year so we can sell them on. We do let them run down too much.
Christopher, obviously you must have seen the news that the Day Monday arrival is imminent. What do you make of this transfer, and what have you seen of him?
I think it's a very good transfer, and I think he's the right age, and there seems to be a lot of development. I always look at some of the stats last night, and I see his overall rating in the Superliga is about a 7 out of 10, which is really quite good, and he seems to be good at heading the ball. And of course, you've got to be careful looking at YouTube clips, because it makes Sam Lammers look like a world beater, but he looks comfortable on the ball. He looks as if he's comfortable under pressure on the ball. He looks as if he can beat a man. Yes, so I think if he can take it easy enough to with the hammer throws that we've got in our league, if he can take that and push on, I think it could be a very good signing for us.
Brilliant. Some great points there, Christopher. Have a good night. Cheers, call again. That's Christopher away, I think. Brian, I'll come back to you, because obviously you were sort of short and sweet before. Just on the point of, you know, bringing players in like Diamandé and like Keir says, developing them and then selling them on. We've been shouting about this for the last 2, 3, 4 seasons. It seems to me that we've hung on to too many players for sentimental reasons, and this player trading model's sort of stalled.
Very much so, and it's not a new thing, this sentimental stuff. We've hung on, well, look at the three of the back four we've held on to for quite a long time. I mean, Borna's one of the ones out of contract, so that might change, but we've been offered some really good money for players in the past and turned them down. All you need is one guy, a decent sort of transfer fee for one of the guys, and then you can go on and get 2 or 3 really good players for that. But this hanging on to players, I've always said, you strike while iron's hot, and if they're in a bit of good form and you get a good offer for some players, unfortunately, you have to bite the bullet and say, look, this is too good an offer and we can't refuse it. So, you know, you've got to do business. There's no point in saying you're going to do a player trading model and then not apply it. So it's been a long sort of protracted sort of situation, this, where we've, you know, hung on to guys for far too long. But I don't think the new head of recruitment is going to be so forgiving in the future, and that's a good thing.
Conor, it's a point I was going to come on to there, is actually, do you think the manager can have that ruthless streak and sort of say, look, the money's too good, we've got to sell it on, i.e., you know, players that we maybe missed, on a Morelos, a Kamara even, that there was points there where we're talking sort of 12, 14, 15, 16 million at times for him, so and then he walked away for sort of 6. So do you think the manager's got that ruthless streak in him that he can sort of push players on when they're at the peak of their powers?
I think Philip Clement probably does have a bit of that ruthless streak in him. I think if players aren't, you know, I think he's going to take the long-term view. Who's going to be beneficial to the squad going forward? You know, whatever happens this season, whether we win the league title, whether we don't, you know, a lot of his build will be next season, because next season will be his first proper full season, a full summer transfer window, his chance to, you know, to do the rebuild that Michael Beale was supposed to do. Instead of leaving as another one. And I think he will be ruthless about it if he doesn't see that player can add value to the squad. Don't get me wrong, listen, the sentimental thing is, well, it's a factor, because there's some of these players that you would feel sympathy for. I mean, Kemar Roofe, he's one that's out of contract in the summer. I'd feel sympathy for him because the injury problems he's got has really cost him at Rangers, there's no doubt about it, because I think if he hadn't had the injury problems, I think we all know that he would be, you know, the amount of goals he would have scored would be unbelievable, because he is the best natural finisher at the club when he's fully fit. And he shows that because even though he's injured all the time, when he does come back for a couple of games, he always scores a goal. It's, you know, became the joke about him. He'd come on the pitch, score a goal, then get injured and go off. So there are players like that. To be honest, and I don't know if the guys would agree, if there is one player in the five that I know that are out of contract in the summer that I would like us to keep, it probably would be Ryan Jack. Because I think he's a good player to have about. He does have that passion, and I think he is somebody that could add to the team next year. Obviously, Lundstrom maybe, but at the end of the day, you can't. Lundstrom's been very good, I think, since come in, and I think you wouldn't mind keeping him, but at the same time, you can always get better. And I think it's clear with the start he had to the season and where he's been, he's not the same John Lundstrom he's been previously, particularly, you know, last year in the, or not last year anymore, but 2022 in the Europa League run and stuff. So you can make cases, but I think he'll have that ruthlessness about him because he'll surely in his head, he'll have players that he already is sort of looking at to bring into the club, I would imagine, whether that's through his contacts in Belgium or wherever else. So you can only do that if we get some players off the books and preferably get some decent cash for one or two players, because I do think there's a couple of players in our squad that we can get something decent out of money-wise. Obviously not the ones that are out of contract, but you know, some of the others you can maybe get a couple of million pounds out of.
I think there's a bit of a balance act that's got to go on, isn't there, with this homegrown quota. So that might throw the Ryan Jack one right on to the last set of Davis. I know Kurt's wincing there. I thought of Ryan Jack getting a new contract. He does not want that. Right, okay, we'll park the contract stuff and the Dave Mandy stuff for now. Unless you want to get back into that, pick up the phone 01416287237. You can get through to us and we'll talk anything Rangers that you want to bring up. But I just want to go, let's talk about Saturday if we can. I know we've had a reaction show and stuff, but we've had a couple of days to digest what, you know, really is a thankless task, because if you get through, there's no real high fives, and if you get beat, people are waiting to slaughter you in the media. So I think what I took from that care, that performance, was what Lundstrom said afterwards. It was just, you know, the attitude of the players. They went there in a really difficult night in terms of conditions on a really difficult pitch and just got the job done. You're on mute, Keir.
See, the manager said, manager echoed the same kind of sentence, didn't he? He said it was very hard conditions to play in. In that way, it's very difficult to even pass the ball, tap the ball, because especially down the bottom, the wind's coming through different angles. The rain was pelting down as well. So I was just getting through, no slip-ups. Yeah, we can, no point in looking through a game and criticising anybody. The important thing in a cup game is getting through. Do you know what I mean? We get through, we win 4-1, and that was the main thing. MVP, no injuries, and listen, the manager's happy with it, considering he was standing on the edge of the park, he was probably freezing, soaked and everything. So I'm happy with the result, Rob, but I'm on to the next round against the United, at least it's at home.
He was probably getting a roaring heat off all the flares at the back of the goal. Connor, I'll come to you. Just Kerr's saying there, like, you know, it's not the night really to slate anyone or anything like that, but Cyril Dessers did, you know, pass up some chances. Still loads of talk about Lauren Shankland. I know you know, that won't go away, but we do need a striker to come in. And is it just looking like Dessers isn't an actual finisher, although he can contribute?
That's probably the kinder way to put it, I would suggest. I just think it's one thing being able to contribute, right? And he does to a degree, but as a striker, you're in there to put the ball in the back of the net. And he's just not done that often enough. I know he's got, I think, is it 7 or 8 goals this campaign? It's not a great return. And I think, I mean, look, obviously the Shankland discussion's always there in the background, you know. It feels a bit moot in terms of Rangers. You know, we haven't actually made any kind of formal approach for Lauren Shankland yet. That's not to say that we won't, because I'm absolutely positive that in the background, it will be being spoke about and it will be getting looked at. But until that time, it is Dessers that you're looking at to be the focal point, and I just don't think he's got that. I mean, if you look at the other side of the City, you know, they've got guys like Kyogo, for example, who has been underperforming this season, but when the big games have come up against us, you know, he's took his chances that he's got in those games and put it in the back of the net, whereas Dessers just doesn't do that often enough. I'm hoping, and I'm sure, like all of us are, that Fabio Silva can step up and maybe do something. I know he's not got the greatest record at Wolves and stuff, but he's had, you know, issues there. But he was signed for a hefty fee by Wolves, so you're hoping that fee means there's a player in there that we can hopefully develop and get something out of between now and the end of the season, because he'll be important. Because, you know, that's where we are. Roof is too injury prone. We might get another couple of games out of him this season at best, if we're extremely lucky. So we're looking at Dessers and we're looking at Silva going, right, you two are going to have to step up for the season. And I just think Dessers worries me, because he needs too many chances before he puts the ball in the back of the net. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't. And it's not even half chances. Some of the chances he misses, he's one-on-one with goalkeepers. He's 2 yards out with open goals. You know, Hearts had two opportunities like that against as well. And it just shouldn't take him. It's the lack of confidence that he seems to have in himself. And I can't understand why he is feeling that way, because usually once you get a goal or two under your belt, the confidence comes, and it's just never really clicked for him for some reason. So, you know, it's a concern. I'd have liked us to have brought in somebody else this window up front, but hopefully...
Still time. There's still time, Connor. There is still time. Mark Doyle, Brian, they're saying Dessers can't score more than one a game. Is that a banker now that gets a brace on Wednesday night?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're on mute.
Say that again.
I'm saying Mark Doyle saying their Dessers can't score more than one goal a game. Is that a banker that he gets a brace on Wednesday night?
Probably kiss of death, isn't it? It's kind of true what Connor says. You know, he takes a handful of chances before he can even get one, you know, sort of goal. So he's not as lethal or as clinical as we need. He's almost got the same sort of goal stats as Kyogo this season, funnily enough. But I mean, Kyogo's been playing pretty poor this year, so it's bizarre. But as Connor says, you know, he gets the odd goal here and there, and you think, right, he should be on a run there, and it just doesn't seem to. He just doesn't seem to click, and I can't for the life work it out. If strikers in the past that we've had, you know, if they've had a drought, once they've got one goal, they go on a wee run again. But he just can't seem to string 3, 4 games, 5 games together where he scores, and we just can't have that at Rangers, unfortunately, especially with the service that he's getting. It's just not good enough.
But Mark, thanks for the super chat and the support. We love that. Kieran, I'll come to you. I'm not having that comparison with Edson Cavani. Please stop that. that's absolutely ludicrous. But yeah, I'll come to you just on Redvan, because I feel like there's a lot of talk saying, you know, he wants to go. We're not accepting any bids, so we're not getting maybe the right bids that come in. But then you look at the performances that he put in. I thought especially first half against Copenhagen and then on Saturday as well. He's not playing like a player that looks like he wants to leave, if that makes sense.
Unless he knows he will eventually go, maybe in the summer, I think. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We're getting paper saying he wants to go back to Turkey, don't you? He was interested in Galatasaray, but supposed to be interested in him. You get people saying we need to sell him because to make room of money for other players coming through the door. But he's professional when he's playing. He's giving 100%. He's playing really well. And so he's putting himself in a short window as well by doing that. So either way, we're getting the best of him when he's playing. If he does go, we'll get a good fee for him. So as long as he's playing and the manager picks him, he'll be happy. But I think he will end up leaving the club sooner rather than later. I just feel he maybe wants to go back to Turkey or whatever. I just feel maybe he's more happy over there. Maybe he's still young, isn't he? So listen, we just never know. We don't really know what's going on in the papers. But I think, and the only thing about strikers, it's quite harsh to criticise Dessers that much. He's the only guy we've got up front now. It's it's a number nine. There's nobody else we can put there. But I do think between now and the end of the window, I do think we'll have another striker. I would say 99.9% certain.
We've got to. Connor, the players that were injured have come in at the weekend and got some minutes. You know, a couple of players come off the bench. But Nico Raskin started the game, got 50, 60 minutes into his legs. And do you think it's... You mentioned how, you know, packed we are in that area, but he's going to be a big player, surely, towards the end of the season now, if we can get him fit and firing.
100%. He'll be a huge player if we can... You know, get him fit and firing, as you said, and keep him that way. I mean, the advantage is, I suppose, it's not one of these ones where he's got any kind of long history of injuries or being in the shell. So you're hoping that, you know, that will be him back now proper, get a few games under his belt to get back into the swing of things, and he'll be, you know, raring to go for the rest of the campaign, because he's an important player for us. The thing Raskin brings, I think, for the midfield is he's got a real creative spark about him that I like. Now, don't get me wrong. Like a lot of them, there are obviously issues you can pick the bones in and say, well, he needs to be better at this or whatever, but he can absolutely, you know, he can play a ball, you know, for anywhere, basically in the park, you know, through the eye of a needle kind of stuff. He's got that in his locker. And if he can produce more of that and create those opportunities for us to take, then he'll be important. And I think that's the thing as well. You'd rather have those options to look at, because obviously in recent times with injuries we've had, come on, well, I've been looking at his bench and thinking, right, who's my option to bring on here if this isn't quite working in this midfield, who do I bring on? And there's not been that solid option there that you can look at. Now he's got Raskin back in the fold. Tom Lawrence, which I hope he can stay fit, I really do. And I hope maybe that he just came back a bit too early for the last injury and that's how he's ended up and doing himself again there. But, you know, hopefully he stays fully fit as well, because he's another one who's important to us in that midfield area going forward, without a shadow of a doubt. So, no, I'm sure he will be. Look, we all seen when Raskin came in last year, he was important in the second half of last season. I think he was a key player for us in a lot of games. So, hoping that he kicks on and keeps it up, particularly... You know, these games in hand and stuff we've got as well. It's vital that we pick up those points and close that gap and really put pressure. Because I can tell you right now, it's a different gravy being 8 points clear to being 2 points clear. Because if we're 2 points behind them, if we play first and we go top, all of a sudden they're under pressure to want to go back top and vice versa. You know, they'll know if they slip up, we can capitalise. So it's, yeah, these players are going to be vital if we're going to do that.
Listen, it's a great point you make as well about Cantwell and Raskin. I think they set the bar really high when they first came in and maybe not quite hitting that so far this season, but we'll wait and see. Listen, we want your calls. Come on, 0141 628 7237. We've had one in 25 minutes. It's no bloody good enough. We aren't there. Martin's sitting there, bored out his you-know-whats. He's ready to pick up the phone and he's ready to get you through. So, come on, there must be somebody out there wanting to make a point. Get yourselves on. Kerr, I'll come back to you just on... the point there that Connor's making about, you know, Raskin in particular and Cantwell having set the bar so high and maybe not sort of picked that up. You know, how do we try and get the best out of them? I mean, I don't want to hammer Todd Cantwell, but I don't want to say he looks disinterested, but it looks like there's more to come from him. We're just not getting it at the minute.
He's been very inconsistent, Robert, very inconsistent this season. He's had one or two good games, three or four bad games and a couple of games where you think he's involved, but he's not really. He's on the fringes. So I think that's up to the manager. I think the manager sees that in him as well. We take him off quite early on and maybe saying other things to him and playing him in games and give him a pat him in the back when he comes off and stuff like that. So I think the manager knows there's something there, but he's just trying to get it on a consistent basis with Todd. We all know there's a player in there, but it's getting out of it, but at the end of the day, every player we've got a value. And if somebody gives me a high offer, maybe for Campbell or Butland or anybody, the club will consider it because you have to. So I think the manager will use Campbell. I think he is a player we can get more out of, but it's up to Todd to prove that. And I'm not going to jump on his back like a lot of folk have, because I think I quite like him as a player. I would just like to see it more. But if he did go, it wouldn't bore me either, because I think maybe other players that can step into that frame as well. I mean, Connor mentioned Lawrence, but Lawrence is injured prone, that's his issue. But if we sign this new guy, I think with him, he'd at camp that you'd get Ed asking. You've also got Cervantes still there, hanging about. I know he's got issues at the moment, but you've also got him there. You've got Bailey Rice, who's been in the squad quite a bit. So I think with Jack and Lundstrom, if they do actually go, I don't think we miss them as much as a lot of people think we're going to, because at the end of the day, I think we'll have to go and kind of shake up this squad, because the squad has to get younger, I feel. We've got too many players on the other side of 30 going over it. I think we have to get a younger squad, a fitter squad, and guys who are coming in who are maybe going to win their first trophy, whatever, and looking to maybe make a move somewhere else, so they have to prove it at Rangers before they can go. We want hungry players. We don't want guys to come in and, like, people are saying Lundstrom. I mean, I've been Lundstrom's biggest critic probably on this pod, but I wouldn't bother me if he stayed, but if he's asking for too much, then I would say no, because there has to be a point where we can't keep giving folk high dollars. He's 29, 30. I'd rather have somebody like the boy come in at 22, we know we get a selling fee, and John Lundstrom could be his last big deal before he maybe starts to look at us at the end of the game and saying, well, what am I going to do when I finish? So I think the manager will do well, but remember, he's just in the door. It's been a quick transition between Beale and Clement, and the field was still here. We want to be in this position. So I think we just, patience isn't a word we all like to use, but I think we have to be patient.
I think it's a pertinent point you make, you know, about cycles in squads, and I don't think we've been good enough at that. Alex Ferguson used to on about, you know, letting players go at the right time and rejuvenating the squad, and I don't think we've done that. But anyway, another caller, that shout out, what we've got Mark waiting in the line, and he wants to talk about one man in particular. Mark, good evening.
Good evening, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, aye. What's your point for the guys?
Can you hear me?
Aye, loud and clear, mate. What's your point for the guys?
I don't think anybody can hear me at this end. I think it's
going
again.
No,
we can hear you.
We can hear you loud and clear, Mark.
Martin, you're going to have to clear that one up, mate, and get him back through. Just on that then, Kerr, we'll stick with you. Just on cycles, you know, how important is it that you try and, as you say, you know, don't hang on to players for too long? Supporters are probably guilty of getting fallen in love with players and, oh, I don't want to see him go, and, you know, Ryan Jack in particular could be one of them. So is it time to that we do start sort of bringing the younger players through and giving them that chance and maybe not being too expecting too much early doors from the likes of a Bailey Rice?
Listen, if Ryan Jack stays, we all know he's not going to play 30 games next season. We all know he's going to get minutes here, minutes here. He's just there for the experience and maybe a good head in the dressing room. So for me, I'd rather let him go and give Bailey Rice, Cole McKinnon these minutes and improve them and get them involved more and see what they've got, because if they don't try, they'll end up getting to a certain age, like probably like Robbie McCrory, who's mid-20s, and people still think he's young. He's maybe young for a keeper, but if a lot of boys his age have got a couple hundred appearances under their belt, do you know what I mean? So I think he has to start looking at his own future as well. Does he want to be number two the rest of his life? Does he want to go and play somewhere? So I think they have to, just sentiment has to go out the window. I mean, I've got it myself, but Jack, Lundstrom, Roof, players like that, they've done well when they've been here, when they've played, but I think it's time to move on, get a younger generation in, use some of the boys if they can for Yusuf, if I try and give them a chance, if they're good enough, and move forward. We're a business, we're a football club, we're not a care home for the elderly.
Talking of care homes for the elderly, Brian, I'll come to you because you look like you're ready for one. Just Seema, you know, the show's titled Seema Wants to Stay. I feel we're starting to look like we might have a bit of an issue with wingers again. McCausland probably needs somebody to come in and take a bit of his load. He's playing obviously every game as well. You know, how do you see it sort of panning out in terms of Seema's going to come back? Looks like it could be a lengthy one. I saw you put in the chat earlier that was a real doctor's definition of what it happened to him. And you've got Silva, who I think, you know, can play that position off the left-hand side. You know, where's that? How's that going to look moving forward? Because obviously wide players have been quite important so far for us.
Yeah, it all depends, I think, on the fee that Brighton want. You know, if it's reported that, you know, it's the 8-12 million mark, then I think we can count ourselves out of that, because I don't think we're stumping up that sort of money for Seema. Maybe Brighton might lower it a bit. You never know. But I mean, he's certainly a guy, when I first seen him at the first game at Kilmarnock, I absolutely thought he was rotten. I thought, oh God, this is terrible. But he's, to be fair to him, his numbers are good. He's another one of those guys that always tries. You know, he's very, he's so unpredictable. He doesn't know what he's going to do himself half the time. But he's certainly, his numbers are, you can't argue with his numbers in that respect. Silva, I mean, we haven't seen enough of him, to be quite honest. It's still very early days for him. And as you say, McCausland, he's another one of these young guys that's been thrown into the team all because of injuries and lack of numbers. And, you know, the same happened to Leon King. I think everybody's not wanting the same to happen to McCausland, where he just gets sort of lambasted and, oh, he's not good enough and all this. Well, he's getting thrown in. I guarantee if everybody was fit, he wouldn't have had the game time that he's had. He would have maybe had the odd appearance here and there, but certainly not the minutes that he's racked up this season purely because of lack of numbers and injuries. So it's certainly an area of the park that we're going to have to look at, because obviously Silva and Seymour are all both on loan. So it's, you know, we keep saying we've got a stacked midfield, but with the out-of-contract players and, you know, loan players, our midfield's going to be threadbare by the summer, by the looks of it.
Listen, delighted to say we've got Mark back. Mark, good evening. How are we doing?
Great, thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, mate. What's your point for the guys?
Can you hear me? Well, the point was, I was actually watching the Clyde One Scottish football podcast this morning, and they were saying that Lauren Shanklin wasn't happy with the leak about his contract, and it wasn't as lucrative as what was getting made out, and it was probably a ploy by Hearts to try and start a bidding frenzy to get him to leave. He's maybe looking to sell him in January rather than going for nothing next year. So the point that came at the end is, there's a fair chance he's going to come to us, but probably in the last 48 hours when Hearts are desperate to get rid of him.
Listen, this
just
is
wanted to know what you guys thought on that.
I love stuff like this. Absolutely brilliant. Bring stuff, but it's the transfer, you know, remember when the lovely stories like this. So, Colin, I'll come to you on that. Lauren Shankland's calling Hearts out for maybe a bit of gamesmanship, shall we say?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I can see why that would wind him up. But I can see why Hearts would do it, because obviously they recognise the form he's been on and that he is going to go, if not this window, almost certainly, I guarantee that he'll go in the summer. And they're going to want to get as much money out of that as they can possibly get. You know, in terms of whether he'll come to us in that last 48 hours, as Mark is suggesting, I'm not so sure, because like I say, we're here sitting 9 days left to go in the transfer window. We still haven't made any kind of formal approach. I don't even think there's been an informal either. And you've got to remember the price tag Hearts will put on him, particularly selling him to another Scottish team, but especially Rangers. You know, there's always a Rangers tax. We're probably going to have to fork out somewhere north of £2-3 million minimum, probably more than that, to get him here. So, look, if the will's there and we want to do it, we'll do it. And certainly they won't have helped themselves by, you know, annoying them and having those, you know, those leaks coming out to the papers. That, you know, that's not what you want to do when you want to try and keep them there, if that's what they want to really do. So, be interesting to see. Listen, I hope we do get him. I would absolutely love nothing more than if we hear that announcement in the last, you know, 48 hours, you know, the last couple of minutes of the window, and he comes in the door. I'd be delighted with that, because he's a proven goal scorer and it's exactly what we need. But if it's going to happen, we're going to have to make an approach pretty soon, I would have thought.
Mark, can you see a sort of a Peter Oden Windy style Lauren Shanklin hanging out his motor outside the training centre with 12 hours to go?
I'm pretty confident that he might sign before the window shuts, just purely because if Hearts do want to sell him, they clearly put out that all that stuff to see if they would start a bidding war. It hasn't worked. No one has come in for him at all. So, like I say, if Rangers do wait to the last 48 hours, they're talking about wanting 5 million, they may drop it to be a bit more of a realistic number to get something for him.
I don't think anyone
is paying 5 million quid for his services.
No, certainly not. Just other than a striker, do you see he's bringing in any cover elsewhere? Maybe a left-sided defender?
Possibly a side defender, depending on what happens with this Ridvan and Barisic stuff, where there's been links of both of them possibly leaving. With Ridvan going to Italy and Bournemouth at Leeds, I think I heard was the talk. But out with that, I would like to see a right winger coming in, because we don't have anything on the right hand side that is productive as Seema. Nothing at all. So I'd like to see someone come in who can fill that void on the right hand side and give us something close to what Seema gives us on the left hand side.
Oh, you're not asking for too much there at all, Mark, are you? Listen, thanks for your call, mate. Enjoy your evening and call again. We enjoyed that. Brilliant. Kea, you know, a right sided midfielder can give us the numbers that Seema can. You know, that's fairy tale stuff, right?
Listen, there's no long left in this window. We just need players in the door. Seema has done well in the first part of the season. He has injured. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. I mean, we've got Scott Wright, who does okay. I mean, I'd rather have Scott Wright in the squad over Matondo. That's just my opinion. I think Matondo's poor. But listen, we need a striker. It's a striker we really need at this moment in time. We get the boy's midfielder. He's left-sided, so he can play left-side or centre, which is good. So I think we've got to already get in Silva, so he can play through my door left side. So I think maybe a right-sided player is good. But it's up to manager. Well, it's not long left, but as you know, majority of the transfers seem to go in the last 40 hours, because that's where people start to panic, either get rid of players or try to buy players, and that's where agents start to get make their money. So, listen, we'll get a striker in. We will get a striker. Who it is, your guess is as good as mine.
0141 628 7237. You can follow Mark's lead and get on the podcast as well and have a chat with the boys. Bring your points up. Brian, we'll move on slightly from, you know, transfers and wide players. I just wanted to touch on the game coming up on Wednesday night, if we can. As we said earlier on in the show, it's a chance to sort of cut the gap and put the pressure on. Now, we have maybe faltered previously. You look at the game at Pittodrie, it was a chance there for us and we you know, we didn't quite capitalise. Saw at the weekend, Hibs sort of struggled up at Forfar, and were quite fortunate to get through in that game. By all accounts, Forfar gave away a really poor goal to concede, and they'll be kicking themselves watching that one back. But certainly, you know, we're going to Easter Road. I can't see there being much changes in the starting 11. Maybe the goalkeeper, well, definitely the goalkeeper. I imagine Button would come back in, but other than that, I think it'll be much of a muchness. How do you see it sort of playing out this one?
Well, it's another ground that we don't seek, you know, struggling a little bit at times. There's, you know, we either go there and win quite handsomely or we absolutely struggle. There doesn't seem to be a halfway house with this place. But Easter Road's another one of these places where, you know, we've turned in some really good performances and won really well. And then there's some games where you just sort of scratch your head. You know, the one that sort of we should have won was the one where Morelos got sent off. There was two of them sent off. You know, it was that game where we should have seen it out and we ended up drawing it. And, you know, just it's a difficult place. But this is the problem now we've got. It's the injury list is getting so bad. There's, you know, Seema with his thigh injury now. He would, you know, I think he would do really well against Hibs at Easter Road. But we're really sort of down to the bare bones now. And it's, you know, although these guys are coming back from injuries, they're not sort of match, sort of, you know, first team sort of starters, you know, like fitness wise. They're going to take a wee while to get up to speed. So it's going to be a tough one up there, but always confident going up there and getting a result.
Connor, there was sort of news broke before we came on the pod just that Hibs are looking to close in on a loan signing for Emiliano Marcondes from Bournemouth. Whether he'll be in and about to play on Wednesday night, but Nick Montgomery's obviously starting to shape his side a bit more. We can, you know, much like Clement, I would say he's got players at his side that have got better, certainly from Lee Johnson. Again, you know, we do the Scottish Football Show, we've spoken about Tavares week on week, haven't we? Out in the cold under Lee Johnson, he's come in and he's having a bit of an impact, but they're up and down. They're really struggling for consistency. But as we know in this fixture, form goes out the window and they really set up their game. So is it one we have to go and just start really, really fast?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would say so, why? I mean, the thing with Hibs is, as you say, that they are so inconsistent. You never really know what Hibs are going to turn up. You know, they can put in great performances, but they're also capable of being absolutely woeful. The one thing you would say about them is that, from my point of view, is a positive, being an opposition team going there. They don't, under Nick Montgomery, they haven't been, you know, parking the bus style. They haven't been sitting in. They have been trying to have a go. And even although he's had some criticism for that, because he's maybe been a bit open. So when they came to Ibrox, obviously we picked them apart because of how, you know, wide open they were. But, you know, so the opportunities will be there. And I think it's exactly as you say. We've got to come out fast and try and hit them as quick as we can, because the quicker we can get a goal in the game, the easier you make it for yourself, because the longer it sits at 0-0, the more confidence they're going to build, and you're going to keep giving them hope that they can get something. You only have to look, you know, when the other side of the city went to Easter Road and they drew nothing each. But in that game, Hibs had a couple of chances where they could have nicked it, because, you know, they're in the game and they're riding that wave thinking, well, look, it's 0-0, all we need is one chance and we can go and take the 3 points here. So our job is to go and make sure that doesn't happen, and that we assert ourselves in the game from minute one, really, you know, and try and be, it's easier said than done, but you've got to hope that we can be clinical in our attacks and the chances we get, because we will get plenty. There's no doubt about it. They're very open. That should allow us some space and time to go and, you know, try and walk the ball in behind them and create those opportunities. And for me, it's not, you know, it's a non-negotiable. You've got to win it. This is one of your games in hand. You know, so dropping points in that really, you know, negates the purpose of having the games in hand. I know a lot of people say you'd rather have the points on the board than the game in hand, but it is where we are. So we've got to make sure that we get the job done. I get the 3 points, and I'm reasonably sure and confident that we will do that.
We're in this a final segment of tonight's our show. 0141 628 7237. Let's get you on. Let's have your say. Yeah, I know you've mentioned earlier on in the pod about Rabbi Matondo not being your favourite. Now, we saw he's played against Copenhagen. He's played at the weekend as well. We haven't got Sima available. Is that a sign that he's probably going to start on Wednesday, or can you see Silva coming in from the off?
It could be either, Robert. I think it depends on how he wants to play Silva, but he could play Silva out the left. But because of the way he's playing, like, you don't sit in. He could play Matondo because he uses his pace. I mean, Rabbi's got tons of pace to burn. That's what he does when he gets the ball. He can finish at times, but also he can be very, very, very wasteful. So it's where the manager goes. But we're going to create chances, like Connor says. We will create chances. It's just getting away. I think we'll win. I think we'll win. We have to win as well. The players know that as well. They can't let these games go away when you think, well, if we don't get 3 points here, we can get it back next game. It doesn't work like that in Scotland. You have to win. We need to win basically all our games now. So I think we'll go there and win. Hibs are playing okay football. They play some nice stuff, but they're not the best at the back. So I think we will get chances and we'll score goals and we'll win. Matondo starts, he could, but I'd rather rent myself out in the left.
Yeah, listen, I don't think Rabbi was that bad on Saturday. I know you've given the benefit of the doubt.
Not just
on
Saturday at all, but since he's been here, he's okay. But for the money he's earning, and for the money Scott Wright's earning, I would get rid of Matondo, get a bit of money back in the coffers and keep Scott Wright to do exactly the same thing.
Well, listen, he's certainly in the last chance saloon, because if he doesn't make a pitch for a starting place between now and the end of the season, then you've got to imagine that he'll be sold in the summer. Brian, you know, the winter break has been cancelled, which is great news. Well, we're all reveling that as of next year. There's no winter break. We'll come back to that because we have got a call. Ian is waiting. Ian, welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast. What's your point for the guys?
Hi, guys. Good evening. Watching us over this, Hi, guys. Good evening.
How you doing?
I was...
Ian, if you've got the podcast on in the background, just knock it off. I think that's causing you a wee bit of an issue there.
I think your squad this year is a...
Fire away, Ian.
Hello. Hi, guys. Good evening. Watching us this season, we seem to have a real large squad. I think it's far too big. We need to cut all the kind of journeymen in the squad and maybe focus on a starting 11 and building continuity in the squad. I mean, you look at the Renfrew across the river, they seem to be more consistent in their games and their squad of players than what we are. We seem to change, drop all the time, you know. We just need a bit more continuity. I think the great teams in Europe, always, nobody wants to drop out.
Connor, I'll come to you on that, because at the moment we don't have any other options but to pick the players that we're picking, right?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, that's as we're going to say there. You know, I think I agree with Ian. Of course I do. You know, the best thing you can do, you can get continuity, you can get that set midfield and squad and go, right, that's my starting 11, that's my strongest 11. The trouble we've got is we've had so many injuries that we just don't have the option to do it. I think we'll all, in our own minds, have our sort of ideal starting 11 if everybody's fit and everybody's ready to go. Unfortunately, we don't have that. In terms of, obviously, the journeyman, as it were, again, you know, I agree that I don't think it shouldn't be a case of, nobody should be undroppable in the squad, right? You know, you shouldn't get played just because you've been there for a long time. But the manager is, as I say, unfortunately, got one hand tied behind his back when so many players go out injured, and then you're looking and that's who you've got available to use. And to be fair, you know, the sad part is the journeymen, as you call them, are the ones that have been able to stay fit for the longest period of time. Guys like Conor Goldson, I mean, he's been out injured once in the years that he's been here. Lundstrom's the same, you know, very, very rare that he's out, and if he is, it's not for any length of time. So those guys are, even if they're maybe not cutting the mustard all the time, they're certainly the fittest in terms of not picking up injuries. And if you're a manager, you're going to play players that you can at least rely on to get 90 minutes out of, rather than risking players you know you could end up losing very quick in the game. So it's a tough one. I think in an ideal world, yeah, you'd be right and that's what you would do. But until we kind of have that clear out in the summer, I don't think we'll be able to do that. And obviously we need to make sure whoever we bring in, preferably the medical team, can work with and they don't have injury problems.
Ian, is there names in the team that you want out? Is that sort of the point you're making? Is there players being picked that you wouldn't necessarily put in yourself?
Well, if you look at it, Barisic is probably gone. Jack, his time's up. Davis is up. I mean, we keep talking about bringing a left back in. Is that not what we're bringing young lads like Yefeko into the squad for? Every time I've seen him playing, he looks trustworthy, looks as though he's got a touch. Big, strong lad. I mean, when are we going to start giving the youth in the team a chance? These are highly talented lads for down south, you know?
It's a point that, you know, we speak about regularly as youth players, but we're seeing it now with McCausland. As much as we're celebrating him busting onto the scene, as Mika Richards would say, there is an issue with, you know, consistency and putting the strain of a title challenge as it is, and winning trophies, and you know that going every week, going every Wednesday, going every Saturday, and it is tough. And for these young guys, and you know, if you've got three or four on the side, you are sort of maybe it's not something you can do at a club like Glasgow Rangers.
No, as I said before, I think McCausland would certainly have not got the minutes and the game time had everybody been fit. There's no chance of that. He would have maybe played the League Cup games or the Scottish Cup games, you know, or coming on as a sub in the last few minutes, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's just where we are, and it's the injuries are just ridiculous. But I mean, it's very. I mean, Yefeko. I mean, he's almost been billed as the next. What's his face? Bassi. You know, he's been billed like him. You know, he's a big, strong lad, left-footed. But we're not gonna unearth a Bassi every season. You know what I mean? So it's all very well saying put youth players in, but the timing's got to be right, and it's not just for the sake of it. We've got to play them when they're ready. It's as guys have said, you know, Scott and that, and a lot of the other guys that go to the B team games. There's a huge jump from B team games to, you know, the Scottish Premier League, and it's very difficult to, you know, jump that sort of that many leagues in one go. So it's all about timing, but at sometimes there's a necessity because injuries and suspensions.
Ian, thanks very much for your call, mate. Please do call again. It was a pleasure having you on.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
You Cheers. Too, mate. Oh, right. Listen, we're into the final stretch. You want to be the last caller on or last couple of calls on? Give us a call, 0141-628-7237. We will get one call on nice and smoothly tonight. That's Martin's challenge, and I'm renting the joint to get one call on just nice and smoothly. That would do
going,
as well.
Going back to the winter break, it's the best thing ever. I mean, well, during the winter break has actually been not bad up until the last couple, you know, last week where we had that snow bomb and the wind this week. I mean, it's actually been fine up till then. You can play no bother. And the amount of games that we have to play, you know, Europe, League Cup, Scottish Cup, League, we can't afford to have a 2-3 week break. It's just nonsense. So it's. I think a lot of other teams, sort of countries do it, but I think they do it out of necessity for they know they're going to get bad weather. Whereas we don't know when we're going to get bad weather. So we're as well just taking the chance and, you know, getting the games played.
Kev, Juice, I mean, I feel I see it right. When we have a winter break, I feel like we come back with a bit of lethargy. There's a build up again to get them going. I'd rather they just played and get the momentum took them through, if that makes sense, rather than stopping. Almost sort of doing a wee mini pre-season again and then going again, you can see the effects of it.
I think with some players you can, Robert. Some players it might not bother as much, but I think we've all been great at coming back after winter breaks the last few seasons, so I think we probably see it more. But the manager will like it because this is his first kind of new chance he's had to spend with him because he's come in, it's been games, and he's not had a lot of time away from playing football. So he'll enjoy this part of it, but I kind of I'm not a big fan of him, but I can see why the players like it and why the coaches and the managers like it. It gives them time when the players away from the rigors of football playing every week. So there's two sides to it, but if it's not here next season, I'll be happy with that. But no doubt we'll get back there and the game will be postponed anyway.
Well, listen, we have got rabble royalty on the line. Jim and Kirky is on and he's got a point for the panel. Jim, how are we doing?
I'm fine, guys. Yourselves?
Listen, smashing. Delighted the phone-in's back and delighted you're back on, Wiz.
No, it's fine. I can see Brian there laughing already because he thinks he'll know what I'm going to say because he usually introduces me as Lorne Shankland's dad. And now, for some reason, everybody wants to be his dad, uncle, or brother, or something like me. But anyway, I think we'll get that one over the line. But my point is the garden. I remember a couple of seasons ago we're talking now here tonight about guys getting out of contract. I remember everybody in their bug was saying we must give Conor Goldson a new contract, which we did do. And obviously you're not going to get any money back for Conor Goldson. Well, like, by the way, I think he's very, very consistent. I think we'd be a lot worse without him. But my other 2 points quickly, because I know we're coming to the end of the show, and I'd just like to ask you guys, is because I don't know. The first one is, what kind of injury is it that the young boy Lovelace has got that, you know, he seems to have been, nobody talks about him anymore. Another one is centre mid. For me, again, I would make Dejan Sterling centre mid, right? Let me finish now. He'd be my centre mid player to go for, particularly in the Scottish League. I would coach that boy to become the best centre mid player in the country, big guys run about him. And lastly, another Scottish guy, I believe. I mentioned him when I was talking about young Lawrence earlier in the year as the boy Armstrong at Kilmarnock. I think it was poo-pooed slightly with that. They see the boy Armstrong at Kilmarnock, delivery, etc. your man Shankland at the end of the crosses. I think we'd do well. We could do a lot worse considering the budget we're playing with. Just my point, guys. That was it.
No, listen, but we'll pick them apart. There's absolutely no rush, Jim. So I've been advised by the producer that Zach Lefleece's injury is to do with his hamstrings. So that's the answer to that one. So we'll go two parts. Ken, I'll come to you on the first one. Sterling, you know, Jim's saying they're coaching to be the best centre mid in the league. And I really like that idea. And I hate the idea of, you know, letting a left back go and him get out there. So I'm on board with that. What about yourself?
Well, he's not put a foot wrong since we played in there, has he? So I'll be happy if he played there and he performs the way he has, because he's strong, he's box to box, he's not afraid to tackle. He can pick a pass and you can see he's quick as well. He's quicker than a lot of people think he is, Sterling. He's a type of player you need for this league, because it can be tough at times and we know that. And there's a lot of games that some of them, I'm not saying the hype, but 50-50, we don't see sometimes we don't win them. So he's one of these guys who won the tackles for you. But listen, he's not put a foot wrong there. And I would have bothered me if he put, if come on, made him into a midfielder we could play off those offer, because I think he's a good player to start. So I'd be a good position to start him, because he's still young. He's full of energy. And he's another one of these guys. If he done that way when he performed really well, he can end up selling on.
Connor, I'll come to you and Jim's second point, because again, you know, we've spoken about him a lot on the Scottish Football Show. It's Danny Armstrong. The panel on there were sort of split. I know Louis Lewis Allen was singing his praises in terms of numbers when we were doing the award show, certainly. He's someone we could get relatively cheap, relatively low wages, relatively low risk.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's been doing well at Kelly this season. There's no getting away for that. He has been fantastic for them. My only slight caution would be the fact that our previous history of doing that, sometimes we sign players too early, and I just don't know if now would be the time you pull that trigger. I mean, I think you know, Jake Hastie, for example, from Motherwell a couple of years ago, he really should have stayed there another year at least before we brought him in. And obviously then you've got Jordan Jones, who I don't think was a bad player. I think he had some moments when he was with us, but it was clear the step up was a bit too much for him at that stage. And I'm being reminded by the producer that he's 26. Yes. But, you know, I still think he's came from sort of relatively nowhere to go to Killy and doing well. But doing well at Killy doesn't always translate to here. And I'm not 100% sold on it. I can see the merit and you can get him cheap enough, but is that the way we need to, the route we go down? I don't know. We've had mixes in the past of players, which I'm being reminded of by the producer here in the background, by the way. Yes, Naismith, Boyd and Novo for Dundee, I get all that. But I'm just saying that you just don't know. You could take a punt on him, is what I'm saying. But if it doesn't work, then you're just going to end up in a situation where you send him back out on loan. And that's not really where we want to be either way. So if it was me, I wouldn't be taking a punt at this moment in time, personally, no.
Jim, just you, the fact that you bring Armstrong into the conversation, does that mean that you see that, you know, McCausland could do a bit of help in terms of bringing him in and out?
No, I just think I'm just trying to be realistic with the budget the Rangers have got to work with. And thankfully, Connor's not a scout. That's good, but he does know a lot about the game. But I just think it's going to be looked at. Players like this have got to be looked at. I keep going on and on and on about this is the Scottish league we play in. These are guys that's proven that they can play in the league. Potential match winners in this league. I said the same about Shankland, and I've said the same about other players in the past as well. We've lost your Doys, your Fergusons. I would even throw Porteous into that. There you go. And honestly, I think it's time. If we win the league, we make money, and then we can look at the kind of standard that we've all used to support another great club. That's the kind of things. But to do that, we've got to win cups and leagues, and I think we've got a big chance of doing that with this manager. I really do. And I think when we get guys like Sterling there, hopefully Shankland, and the boys like Armstrong's just an example. There's other kids out there that can do the job as well. Get money back for some of these players. And I think that's the way you go. You've got to have proven people that win. I mean, if you look at the boy Armstrong, talking about him, he's done it against us and he's done it against them. He's a decent player. He's a decent player. I'm by no means is the finished article. He's no means the type of player we've been used to seeing in the past. But we're not going to go at this kind of players now unless it's on loan, for example. And one of the biggest we ever had was the guy that missed the spot kick that we don't want to talk about. These guys, great players. And I just think it's time to give these Scottish players a chance, or British players, I should say, a chance and play in our league and potentially start winning this league again consistently. I think it's doable. I really do. And I think the guys like Sterling, as I said, and others, I think we've got a very good chance. I think it's now time to get rid of all the deadwood out of contract and I throw Lundstrom, who I'm a big fan of, I like him. I think if we don't, if he let his contract run down, I think it's the time just he's got to go, because we're having the same conversation about him next season or the season after. If he gets a 2-year contract to us again, it's not the future. Sterling's the future in the middle of the park. That's all, folks, tonight.
Jim, listen, as always, brilliant call. Nice to finish on. Have a pleasant evening. Call us again.
I will indeed. Take care of yourselves, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers, John.
Listen, it's a point Jim makes, is that, you know, if there is a manager that can get maybe Danny Armstrong to the next level, you'd have to say Philippe Clement is that man. Yeah, he's certainly done a couple of players already. Okay, gents, listen, we've done an hour and a wee bit there. I'm happy with that.
He's got 4 goals and 7 assists this year, Armstrong.
Listen, I
think my poor Dan Armstrong, Rangers have to go and watch him and see if he fits into the way Clement wants to play. It's up to Clement. And we can all sit and see Danny Armstrong playing well with Clement, which he is. He's done well with Clement, which he has. But he's at an age where he has to perform like every week, with every game Rangers, not just on and off with a team like Clement. Do you know what I mean? So Rangers have to watch him over a consistent period of time this season and then make the consumption of, is he good enough to fit in? Is he better than Scott Wright? He probably is. But is Scott Wright going to be here long term? We don't know. Now, I don't know if Clement's going to be looking at the Scottish market. He probably will. Is he going to use some of our youth players to fit into the quarter? You don't know. But he has a name that he can bring up to add to our team. I don't know how much it would cost, but he would improve it to a point. But I don't know the way Clement's going to go with Cotman. I don't know if they get players in their mind or are they going to look at the Scottish market as well, because you have to look at the Scottish market to need Scottish players in there. So he's either using some of the youth players and bringing some players in for their teams. So it'll be interesting to see. Listen, somebody said I didn't rate him. I did rate him. Armstrong, I think it was Conor that never, but I said Armstrong would have been a good signing when we spoke with it in the chat. But somebody else said it was me and you, Conor, but I'm just jumping off that bandwagon, I'm afraid. I think he'd be okay.
I need to defend it. I didn't say I didn't rate Danny Armstrong. Danny Armstrong's a very good player. What I said is I'm just not sure whether or not the step up can be done, because we had the same, this is the thing, we had the exact same conversations about Jordan Jones when the talk was about bringing him in, because he was absolutely tearing it up at Kilmarnock. You know, he had similar stats to what Brian's pointed out there for Armstrong. Came to Rangers, it was too much for him. He couldn't handle it, clearly. That's how it ever worked, and it's a flop. So I'm just saying,
every transfer is a gamble. Doesn't matter. It's probably when you get wrong, another team gets that one right, and then you're criticised for it. Do you know what I mean? It's just a luck who you bring in.
How much time do we actually realistically have left to keep getting it wrong, though? You know, it's the importance. And mate, listen, I accept I might be wrong. I'm just saying that there's such an importance that in the next, you know, particularly the summer, this window, we have got to get it right, because we've had a couple of windows there where, quite frankly, we've had stinkers. You know, overall, over the piece, we've had more flops than we've had successes. And that's the pressure that's on us now.
It's not the manager. I'm confident it's not to us. If they get it wrong, then we can come back. We can come back and speak about it. There's no point arguing about it until we do arms.
But the point generally is, though, we've got to start looking closer to home for players. You know, we've done it in the league.
Brian, so also, as well, I think when the players are coming in for other Scottish clubs, you've got to ask yourself, are they playing in that 11 every week, and are they the best player in that team? That's the only way they're going to transfer their skills into a Rangers side. So, listen, gentlemen, as you say, we'll leave it at there before black eyes start appearing virtually. We are back on Wednesday night with the build-up reaction before the game at Easter Road. There's a pod on Friday, and then there'll be a build-up reaction as well on Saturday for the St Mirren game. So loads and loads of content coming this week, so get your notifications stuck on. If you've been in the comments tonight, absolutely fantastic. If you've liked and subscribed, even better. The podcast is still sponsored by NordVPN, and you can get, I think, some sort of discount, 63% off a 2-year subscription down in the description if you click that link as always. But listen, thank you for your company tonight. Thanks very much to Connor, Brian and Kerr. Thanks to Martin on the phones as well. Thanks to all the guys that, that called in as always and really enjoyed it. And we'll speak to you again on Wednesday. Thanks very much for your time. Cheers. Podcast Network.